today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Just like we wouldn't want to be in our mom's womb, hanging on to that life. I don't like it in here. I just want to stay in here. It's so great and warm. I don't want to do anything. We come out of the womb. None of us are going, boy, I'd like to go back to the womb. This life is the womb of eternity. Some will be born when we die to eternal life. Many others to eternal condemnation because they rejected the one who could save them.
Deeper and deeper.
If you've been a Christian for some time, perhaps you've imagined a scenario where your life would only be spared if you denied Christ. You've wondered, if you gave in, would you be condemned to eternity in hell? Today, we'll hear what Scripture has to say and seek to reinforce our faith during trying times. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, We're in a Battle for Souls.
We are in a battle. Whether you want to be in a battle or not, whether you like to fight or not, you are in a battle. And the battle is not one that we can see, but it's one that is very important because it's for souls. It's for you. In the end, we're going to be divided into two camps. One will go to heaven. Another camp will go to hell. There is no in between. And to go to heaven, you can't be good enough. You can never be good enough to go to heaven. You'd have to be perfect by this world standards to begin with no mistakes, even as a baby. Can't make any. And so there's no way that you can go to heaven by your works. And thank God, God doesn't make us go to heaven by our works. He sent His Son, Jesus, who paid the price for sin, for all sin, past, present, and sins that He already knows about and you don't know about. He knows. But the dividing line is Him. We're going to talk about that dividing line here in a moment. But we're in a battle. And in a battle, those who are under their commander will take usually one of a couple of positions. One is a defensive posture. You have a purpose. You're in place for a reason. You're there and you have a purpose. You're not just flailing around, running around. The other is offensive, where you're going in, you're gaining ground, you're taking something for a reason. I know we would all love to have a defensive posture. Some Christians so want the defensive posture, they don't want anyone to know that they are a Christian unless they happen to find out. I'm just waiting for the battle to come. Unfortunately, if you're in the kingdom of heaven, if your God is your commander, if Jesus is your Lord, you have been given an offensive battle plan. He said to go, make disciples of all nations. Be proactive. Reach out. Share your faith. We talked about the fact that you got to say something. You got to share. And that's the battle plan we've been given. And Jesus has been training up His disciples now. He's been doing all of the ministry. They're just following Him. But now He's turned them and He said, you know, a lot of people need to be ministered to. There's a harvest out there. So pray for laborers. And then right away, He pulls them aside and says, okay, here's what you're going to do. We're the laborers. Yeah, we are. And He sends them out and He's talking to them, giving them guidance, teaching them, instructing them in their part of the battle plan. This is a basic training mission. And so in verse 27, where we pick up, He tells them, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So some battle lines are drawn here. Who is and who isn't his? He's the Lord. Who is he the Lord of? Here are some things that should be a part of the life of somebody who belongs to Jesus as Lord. One, you'll be a proclaimer. You will share. It's not about saying, Jesus, I believe in you, and then going on. And then if someone else asks, do you believe in Jesus? You better believe I do. So you're a Christian? Yep. It's not about that. James wrote in his book that even the demons believe. But does that kind of believing save? The idea is that James kind of takes it, and some people get caught up in works. You have to do works. That's not the point of what James is writing. He's saying that if you really believe, if your faith is genuine, there will be works. There'll be transformation. There'll be different decisions being made. There'll be a struggle inside. You'll start to choose the right way versus the way you've always chosen. There'll be a sense of separation. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But there's a work going on in your life that begins to take place if you're his and he is your Lord and he can speak into your life. There's nothing to hide when God speaks to you. There's nothing to hide when it comes to his word. He says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach from the housetops. Now, he's not saying literally go in your house and start shouting. He's just saying, whatever I say in private, I don't care who you spread it with. Share it with everyone. It's truth. You don't have to hide truth. You don't have to be ashamed of truth. It's true. In the end, it'll be found out to be true. Now, lies, on the other hand, are hidden. You know about lies, right? You tell a certain group of people. Sometimes you tell a lie to this person because you need to lie to that person, but you don't want that lie spilling over to others because they would know it's a lie. So lies are done in secret, but not the truth. Cults often have secrets. You get in. They teach you things, but then they have, anyone's welcome to the bigger things, but then they pull you aside and they start doing the smaller private things, and they can't come to these. This is, don't tell them these things, these ceremonies of secret ceremonies and secret books, secrets they don't want you to broadcast. But Jesus says, I'm not like that. Whatever I have said to you, you don't have to hide it, share it. It's true. Whatever Jesus is doing in you, don't hide it. Share it. It's not like no one else has gone through those things. These are good things. They show that God is alive, that he's active, that his word is doing a work in your life. Share it. It also helps you be accountable when you begin to share. Man, God is really moving in my heart here. You know, the things that have gotten me over most of my hurdles are when I finally come out and share. I struggle the longest when I don't tell somebody. That's me and the Lord. I just can't overcome it. But when I begin to share, and then there's that raised accountability, I don't know what happens, but I begin to overcome. So it's good to share and tell what God is doing, and to share and tell God's word, because God's word is truth. There was a time when Jesus' ministry was growing. Many were following him. I mean, who wouldn't want to follow him? He touched people. They're healed. He taught with authority. Like, man, I love this guy. This is awesome. I love his church. And so they're walking, going with him. And finally, he started to tell some hard things. The seriousness of following him. Now, they liked the miracles. They liked the excitement. They liked the church part of it. But now he's demanding of them. Change, transformation, do something. Moi? I'm just here for the good time. I'm just here to be lifted up. And so it said that many of them left. And so Jesus looked to his disciples and said, do you guys want to go away too? And Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. In other words, what Peter recognized is, you know, they give us information. There's lots of information out there. But when you speak, you give me something to hang my life on, to help me with my life. And not just for this life, but beyond it. You're not considering truth and then die. You know, like science, evolution. What happens after death? You die. Evolution. You just die. You're done. Things keep going. Cycle of life. God says, no, 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 no. Bad advice. You live. You live unto me. You deny yourself here in this life. You die to yourself now because there is a life to come that is eternal. And just like we wouldn't want to be in our mom's womb, hanging on to that life. I like it in here. I didn't want to stay in here. It's so great and warm. I don't want to do anything. We come out of the womb where none of us are going, boy, I'd like to go back to the womb. This life is the womb of eternity. Some will be born when we die to eternal life. Many others to eternal condemnation because they rejected the one who could save them. Because we're all sinners. So we need to share God's truth, be a proclaimer. I'm going to go back to that idea of being a sinner here in a moment, because some disagree with that. We're not sinners. So be a proclaimer. Two, don't be a denier. So if you're the Lord's, be a proclaimer, but also don't be a denier. Now, why would someone deny Jesus? Well, one, unbelief. I just don't believe. The Pharisees fell into that camp. The religious leaders, they had their system. They had their way. Jesus came along and said, nope, we're not going to receive you as our Messiah. So they rejected him, didn't want to have anything to do with him. But another way that we can deny him is to disagree with him. I don't agree with you. Don't agree with that. I know it clearly. I don't agree with it. I think there's got to be some Hebrew, something in there. But I don't agree with that. It doesn't fit into my thinking. We've talked about this over the past, I think, couple of weeks, about this brick wall that a person can hit. They believe, they ride the coattails, love Jesus, love the miracles, they're in, they're with him, but he says the hard thing, requires change on your part. And then they go, I'm out. I'm gone, I'm walking away. What they're saying is, yeah, he's Lord, until he says something I don't agree with, which means he's not really the commander. He's not really the Lord. So, when we don't agree, we deny him. The Lord's speaking to your heart. He says, I want you to reach out to that person. I say, I don't want to do that. They may think I'm foolish. They may think. And whenever we don't do it, it's in a small way, we're denying his lordship because he's Lord. So when people disagree with him about his Bible, about his word, then they're denying him. Who is a good example of denying Jesus? Judas. Judas walked with him. He was part of the church. He was the church, like a church secretary. He took the books. He kept the books. And he got a little upset. He saw Jesus doing some things he didn't like. You know, people pouring perfume on him. You know, who does he think he is? That perfume could have been used for a good purpose. And who are you? So somewhere along the way, he got frustrated. He didn't want the message. He didn't want to have anything to do with some of what Jesus was allowing or teaching. And he grew distant, resistant, to the point that the genuineness of his faith was proven. Jesus couldn't be Lord. He never was. He was only Lord while he agreed. But the brick wall showed that he never was. We read in the scriptures that some walked away. And they walked away because they never really were among us. They were only among us as long as they agreed. Some people shop for churches that way. I want to find a church that agrees with me. Good luck. There are plenty out there that'll agree with you one Sunday, but you go back the next Sunday, what? I don't agree with that. And then you're out of there. We need to agree with His Word. Look and make sure that the Word of God is being taught. So not agreeing with Him is a way we can deny Him. Now, those are two forms of denial, I think, more for the unbeliever. Some look like believers for a time, but hit the brick wall, find out maybe they weren't. One reason that unbelievers experience and believers alike experience, and that is fear. Can you imagine someone coming up to you as a Christian? I know you're a Christian, and all I want, you don't have to believe it or anything, but I have this gun, they take it to your head, and they say, just say, I don't believe Jesus is Lord. Just say it. And you could reason in your heart, all right, I don't believe it, but on the spot, maybe you do go, okay, Jesus is not Lord. Maybe they shoot you, maybe they don't. I don't know. But you did it. You failed. And I'm sure you would feel bad. You wouldn't go, oh, I got to know that one. I'm sure you'd feel miserable. And we do fail that way. Sometimes fear can cause us to fail. Peter's a good example of that one. Jesus is telling him right now, don't deny me. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you before the Father. But it's later on, Peter's going to deny him three times. So it's not like the sin that condemns you. Oh, I've denied, it's over now. I'm going to hell. We do experience fear, but that's why Jesus tells them here, don't fear. He's telling his disciples, don't fear. Share the good news. Say it, proclaim it, and don't fear, because fear will keep us from proclaiming. It is the fear that keeps us from. We fear losing a relationship. We fear losing a friendship. We fear what somebody will think about us. We fear losing a job. We fear. And so we don't say. He's telling them, look, I'm sending you out on this mission in the world. You're to be salt and light. And if you don't say anything, you're going to be like salt that lost its saltiness. You're not doing anything. So don't fear men. Don't fear these things. See, man cannot condemn your soul. We're a soul. You're not going to die and just cease to exist. You're going to live beyond this. Whether you're born again or not, you're going to live beyond this. You're going to live eternally in heaven with the Lord. You're going to live eternally in condemnation because of your choices. Not because He wants to send you there. He's already laid out the plan. He's already paved the way for your salvation. So you choose, but we can't fear men. We need to fear the Lord. Why would we let peer pressure cause us to deny and dishonor the Lord? It's better to fear God. And yet we struggle with peer pressure. We are worried about what others, our peers, will think. If I'm too all in with the Lord. I remember going through that progression of getting saved, and I thought, you know, I'm saved now, but I don't want to become a geek, Lord. I don't want to become so far over. I got to keep my cool about me. I want everybody to know I'm cool, you know. Then go find out you never were cool, you know. Go figure. But we are called to be salt and light in the world. And we are called to be conformed into His image. And we are called to fear God. Not to be afraid like a father who abuses his child. But we ought to be more fearful of the fact that we would dishonor God than what men can do to us. It's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. You can trust God. You can put all your eggs in one basket. You really can, because He cares for you. Warren Wiersbe said, the person who fears God alone need never fear any man or group of men. The fear of God is the fear that cancels fear. God cares for you. Some are worried about authorities and God being an authority, that they're just using you. You know, I don't want to be taken advantage of. I don't know his motives. We question the motives of everyone. Our bosses, our spouses. What are your motives? Our kids, for sure. We got to check those motives out. They're being trained still. But we check the motives of everyone. We're worried about the motives of everyone. But you don't have to worry about the motives of the Lord. He loves you. There was a time when Israel was being taken into captivity. They were going into Babylon. And they earned it. You could call it their spiritual spanking. They had not been doing what God said to do for years and years. And so God said, look, they're going to overrun you. They're going to come in. They're going to take over your land. There's going to be death. You guys, a lot of people are going to die. And it's because you didn't listen to me. But he said, as they were going in, he said, but I know the plans that I have for you. And though this is a time of judgment, of punishment, getting things straightened out, I know the plans I have for you, and they're plans to give you hope and a future, to prosper you. But really, I got to take you back down to the bare beginning again so that I can build you up. So, but you can trust God, and you can trust his motives. He says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. Whoever denies me, I will deny. This is the battle line right here he's drawing. And here's what he's saying. Are you willing to be associated with Jesus? Are you willing to be associated with Jesus? If someone looks at you and goes, oh, there's a Christian. Oh, there's a Christ follower. Are you okay with that? Are you willing? Because I remember when I first started walking with the Lord, that was the one thing I didn't want. I wanted to believe, and yet nobody knew it. You know, I just, hey, I'm cool, you know. What do you think about this? Well, I think there's some Christians, they're a little right wing, but here's what I got to say about it. Young Christian counseling people, not knowing the scriptures. But as I've grown, one thing I have found out is that you become more like Christ. You really do. You see, you become like who you identify with. If you want to be a banker, you look at the classes bankers take. You look at the course, the track. How do they dress? Okay, that's professional. That's what, okay, they look at this. They don't like, they do. Okay, then let's get that. The red tie, okay, let's go for it. You move and you gravitate toward what you want to be identified with. So, look at us, and we can see some sense of what we're identifying with. Right? The newscasters, some of the newscasters, if you were to listen to them speak off camera, they don't sound anything like that. They've got accents, you know, whatever the case may be, slang that they use. But on camera, so that it's open for everyone, so everyone can hear, they speak proper, they speak well, they speak clear. They take classes to be able to do that. So they're enunciating properly and doing all of that. As a Christian, it seems that God is working to cause us to be less identified with the world, more identified with Christ. That we become conformed into the image of His Son on the inside first. But as you know, when the insides begin to change, the outsides begin to reflect. At least that's been my experience. I have changed a lot. So the battle lines are drawn. Who do you want to be identified with? In Rome, once a year, you talk about being identified with someone. Every year, to make sure that there was allegiance to Caesar and to Rome,
deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast. which is also available in the iTunes Store when you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.